Kadosh, Kadosh, Hata, and Kamoka Adonai.
You are, yeah.
Yes, you are so good. Yes, you are so good. Senor, oh, you are so good.
God, you are so good. God, you are so good.
Oh, God, you are.
God, you are so good. You are so good.
You are my joy. You are my joy.
God, you are my joy. God, you are my joy. God, you are my joy. You are so good to me.
Yes, you are my joy. You are.
God, you are my joy. God, you are my joy. God, you are my joy. You are so good to me.
Thank you, Lord. We'll praise you at all times. We'll magnify you at all times. We'll bless your name at all times. Your praise shall continually be in our mouth. For you are a good, good God. The God who's loved us with an everlasting love. God who protects us, keeps us, provides for us, heals, restores, and makes us whole. A God who caused us to escape from every snare, every strategy of the enemy foiled and brought to nothing. You alone are God, our keeper, our redeemer, our savior, the God who grants to us peace, the God who grants to us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we may become all things that you say we can be. Thank you, Father, that you've taken care of our past, you've taken care of our present, and you've taken care of our future. Therefore, we shall fear no evil, and we shall not cower to any issues, because your grace sufficient has empowered us and made us more than conquerors. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated, and I will take my seat also. Well, we've been studying through the book of Proverbs, and today we continue with that book. We're in the third chapter. I believe we got as far as verse 11 or 12 the last time, verse 12. And we're to start with verse 13. However, I'm going to read from verse 6, which we started with last week. I'm not going to make much of any comments with that. A little here and there if need be. Where it says, in all thy ways, in everything that you're doing, acknowledge him, meaning God. And in acknowledging God, God will then direct thy path. In essence, if we don't acknowledge God, he's not obligated to direct us, to guide us, to help us maneuver through the issues of this life. We've got to acknowledge him by talking to him about what we're trying to do, by acknowledging his lordship, by acknowledging his faithfulness. And it's going to tell us in a moment how it is, in very specific terms, how we acknowledge God. He says, first of all, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, reverence him, praise him, and depart from evil. That's number one. And when you do that, it shall be hell to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. This is the response to us acknowledging God and departing from evil. God will bring health to every aspect of our being, from our structure and to the source of navel resources coming from the one that we're connected to. That will be healthy. There will be no issues with that. And the issue or the commentary concerning that, hell to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. One of the things we talked about last week was that that's where you get primarily your stem cells from. And with stem cells manipulated, you can make a liver, you can make a new kidney, you can make a lot of stuff. It is the structure, the building block of your DNA and all of that is in there that will bring about what matches you as an individual. And God's saying, listen, if you acknowledge me, I know you to the core, and I know exactly what will fit you perfectly. You won't have to, you know, if you have a kidney transplant, for example, you've got to have take medication all the time, you know, so that your body does not reject it. There's no rejection with what God gives to you. Praise the Lord. It's a perfect match, you know, that every part of your system recognizes that this is part of me and does not try to say, is this a foreign body? No, there's nothing foreign about it, because the real, authentic you that God created with a purpose and a destiny matches up. And now he tells us the other aspect. First of all, you honor God, you depart from evil. Now he tells us the other way, the second way to acknowledge God, honor the Lord with thy substance. If we are not honoring God with our substance, we are not acknowledging God, that he's Lord, that he's our provider, that he's our source and resource. So honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. When increase comes into your life, you bring that and place it before God. You're not afraid that you're not going to have more. You just know, wow, I just got an increase of $100. I'm going to sow all $100 to the Lord because I know that $100 is going to continue. I see God doing something in my life. That's God providing for me. So then he says, so this is how your barns are going to be filled with plenty and thy presses burst out with new wine. New wine. Jesus our Lord said, you don't put new wine into old wine skin. And God is saying, therefore, listen, if I'm going to provide you new wine, I'm going to make your wine skin new also. I'm going to keep on upgrading you to match up with the blessings I'm bringing into your life, so that the blessing I'm bringing into your life does not become a handicap or a pain. You know, so the word of God is very specific. God blesses, and he adds no sorrow to it. Amen? So God, change me so I can handle the changes that you're bringing into my life. Because changes can come into your life, and the next thing you know, you have, you know, fallen apart, and nothing is going right anymore. And you start to curse the day that blessing came into your life. for that's not God. God blesses you, and you'll continue to celebrate and enjoy the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Then it says, thirdly, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, because this way you are acknowledging, God, you're right. You're right. I was wrong about this. You're right. You're rebuking me about this. You are right. I don't bring my smart aleck mindset into the situation and start arguing with God about it. You just know, God, you're right. You say this is a sin? You're right. He says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. Why? He's wanting to change you. Wanting to make you better. Don't, therefore, get all wound up and get tired of his correction. And there you go again. Yeah, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. See, don't do that. Embrace it. Because God has something on his mind for you. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he corrected. Wow, God is correcting you. God is chastening you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You love me. You love me. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighted. You corrected me because you delight in me. You pleased with me. You want the best for me. Father, I receive this correction, and I ask for your help to continue to do the right thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we come to verse 13, which is a passage of scripture that we're to start with. But I just recapped on verse 6 to 12 and made statements that I did not make last week. And if I go to those passages again, there are going to be more things that I can say about those passages. And next week, I can stay on that verse and we will not repeat ourselves. Because there's so much in here. Now it says, happy is the man. Praise the Lord. Happy is the man. Or you may say, blessed is the man. The word is the word Esha. Esha. And it just means blessed. So when the Lord says, for example, in the New Testament, in the Beatitudes, and says, blessed is the blessed, it's the same flip word in the Greek, happy. Now, when we talk about happiness in God, we're not just talking about happiness. Something happened, therefore I am happy. But when God talks about Esha here, he's talking about a state of mind where the joy of God is consistent in your life. No matter what you're going through, you're just a happy camper. Just happy. What are you happy about? What happened? God happened. God is with me. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. That's what happened. When did that happen? Oh, 2,000 years ago. And you say happy about that? Yes, because that high never goes down. Hallelujah. You know, the people of the world want different stuff to get them high. No, I'm already high. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm addicted to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Happy, assured, is the man that findeth wisdom. The man that findeth wisdom is a happy man. The Lord said the wise man is the one who came, heard his word, and did it. So a happy man is a doer of the word of God. And so he's not getting corrected and chastised all the time. His delight is in the Lord. Let's look at real quickly at Psalm 1 and verse 2 and 3. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 1, 2 and 3. It talks about the blessed man. The blessed man is the word. What do you think the word is? Same word for happy, Eshar. Right? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's not walking the wicked path. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. And then verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, which is his word, doth he meditate day and night. That's his delight. That's what he's happy about. And God is calling us to that, that we delight in his word. We're excited about him, about who he is. So happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Who does God delight in? You delight in his word, but who does God delight in? God delights in the one who's taking hold of that word. He says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God or delight God. But faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear the word of God, we delight in that word of God, we do the word of God. And God is delighted, and we are delighted. Praise God. So happy is the man that findeth wisdom, because he's a doer. He's one who delights in the word of God, and he's doing the word of God. James chapter 1. Gospel of James, or Epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 5, tells us something. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Okay? Ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. In other words, God gives it to you freely and richly and does not say to you, I thought I gave you wisdom before. You keep on asking. You keep on receiving. There's no end to it, because wisdom is a catalyst to total provision. Is a catalyst. God asked Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? And Solomon says, you know what? I'm so young, and you've given me an opportunity here to lead your people. Nothing in me qualifies me. I come from a mother that was basically an adulteress. Say, well, you know, it's the king. How can you say no to the king? Well, there are people who said no to the king. No, I'm not doing that. I'm married. She didn't. She's now pregnant. She did not tell the husband, I am pregnant. I messed up. That's the route Solomon came out of. That's the route he came out of. It was a mess. Now, there is a coup. One of the king's sons is now taken on the throne. And he's gallivanting as if he's the king. And David takes Solomon, hands him over to be made king in the Gihon. With all the forces against them, he's still king. And the guy says, God, you're the only one who's qualified me to be here, but I don't feel like I can handle this. I need wisdom. If I'm going to lead your people, I need wisdom. I cannot do it with my natural mind. I don't have it. I need wisdom. And God granted him that wisdom. God granted him that wisdom. Now remember, what are the three things again that we need to be aware of when we're talking about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Yeah? That's key. And what does God do for him? God says, because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life. What's that? You didn't ask for long life. You ask for wisdom and understanding. Neither has asked riches for thyself. You didn't ask for riches for thyself. Nor has asked the life of thine enemies. God, destroy all my enemies. But has asked for thyself, understanding to discern judgment. And that is actually the full meaning of what wisdom is, the ability to discern. Ask for thyself, understanding to discern judgment, to know differences. He then says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. I have what? I have what? I have given. So that there was none like thee, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall arise like unto thee. And the next verse says, and I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Both riches. I want you to notice that. Both riches and what? Honor. So that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. For all of your days, there's not going to be a king like you, as wealthy as you. Because you ask for a wise heart, an understanding heart. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Findeth implies that you're looking for it. You're looking for it because you don't have it. Because you don't have enough of it. It is a clear sign of humility, wisdom. Recognizing, I don't have what it takes. I need the assistance of God. I need your help, oh God. I need your help. If I'm going to make it, only you. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, which is his influence, and in favor with God and man. Interesting. So James 1 and 5 says to us, ask God. If you like it, ask God. And we will do that tonight. We will do that tonight. We're going to ask God for wisdom. And then he says, and the man that getteth understanding. This person that's looking for wisdom and then getteth understanding. So from wisdom you get what? Understanding. So wisdom is the foundational aspect from whence you're going to get other things. In all of your getting, get wisdom, the Bible will say. And then we say, in all of your getting, get understanding. And then it says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain of wisdom and understanding than fine gold. The merchandising, you mean there's a profiting, there's a trading? Because when you merchandise something, you're selling it. And what God's word is saying is, the key to wealth, greater than wealth, is getting to know how things work. How things work. That's where your money is going to come from. Whatever God gives to us is to give us a higher level of insight to solve problems. Remember, when Solomon asked for wisdom, he was saying, I want to be able to solve problems. I want to be able to deal with your people, to bring proper judgment, be discerning. Many times, when we face problems, we spend our time complaining. Oh, this cannot be done. It's impossible. Meanwhile, God is giving you and I an opportunity to learn how to solve a problem. And in the solving of that problem and finding solutions, you have a sellable product. Is this making sense? So problems I set up. What is facing our economy? I was saying to somebody the other day, now and then I will say it. I said, you know, every spring as you go out now, you find that there are potholes all over the place. Yeah? If somebody came up with a product that will weather the winter properly, to make the roads and resolve the problem of potholes only just in Winnipeg, how wealthy is that person going to be? There are so many roads. Somebody listening? You know, God, what is the solution? Do you think God has a solution? Of course he does. But guess what we do? We look at ourselves, and I will say to myself, I'm not smart enough to happy is the man that findeth wisdom. The man that getteth understanding. Is God capable of downloading information into my spirit? If I cried out to God and said, God, I need you to show me what the solution is. What is the solution? You know what? He might say, corn. What do you mean corn? Put corn in that tar. Huh? Corn in the tar. I don't know this, the science of it. But I put corn in the tar, and lo and behold, it expands and contracts and holds steady. The solution might just be that easy. And God says, you're busy trying to do stock trade, the merchandise of silver and fine gold. That's playing the stock market. That's dealing with the market out there and the world system. And God is saying, listen, there is a merchandise of wisdom that is beyond that. There's something I can show you. There is an answer. I was, I don't know what country I was in now. But I believe it might have been somewhere in Africa. And I didn't get to meet the gentleman, but this brother that I was talking with knew about this particular guy. And he says to me, he says, this brother is wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. I said, well, how did he get his wealth? He said, from garbage. I said, what do you mean from garbage? He said, God led him to start collecting garbage. Okay, so he was recycling? He said, no, it's not the recycling. I said, what? He said, they sort through all the garbage that comes through and they start collecting gold and silver and whatever. I said, what are you talking about? He said, lots of people throw garbage out and they throw out their jewelry with it. And all this guy does is sort through all of that and collects all the gold and the silver, all this stuff that people threw out by mistake, and he is mega wealthy. I said, huh? How did he come about this? He said, the Lord told him. Where does this guy come from? From a very poor family. And now he is very, very wealthy. Wisdom. Some of you may have heard me talk about a man that we in the complex that we lived in Nigeria. They lived close by. This guy was dirt poor, really poor. You know, the poor will call him poor. I don't know the man's name, but I know his son's name. His son's name was Solo, short for Solomon. So we'll call him Papa Solo. This guy with his, I don't know how to describe it. The unit that he used had an axle with two wheels, like the back wheel of a vehicle. And then he will attach like a cart to it, and he'll pull it. And that's how he used to haul garbage, you know, from place to place, and people give him some money. And one day we see Solo's dad driving in what we call a pickup. A pickup is like a truck. Not as big as a half ton or whatever. Just one of those smaller ones. Nice, brand new, brand new, brand new. And what is he doing with it? He's putting garbage in it. So look at this guy, he's lost his mind. We can understand the truck pusher, and now you buy a nice vehicle, you put in garbage in the back of it, hauling stuff. What a foolish man. He was not the foolish one. Everybody else looking at him, they were the foolish one. The guy ends up with his nice truck. Now he has houses. The issue was consistency. Wisdom forces us to come to a place of consistency. Being consistent. You know, this is how you came into your blessing. Stick with it. So the Word of God says, hey, you get wisdom and understanding, you can trade it. Wisdom on how to solve a problem, you can trade it. Whether it's in books, writings, magazines, podcasts, whatever it is. And people will listen to it and say, oh, well, I learned something from there. This is merchandise it. So God gives us permission to merchandise. Yeah? He says, I've given you something, sell it. Merchandise it. Make money out of it. It's better than whatever else they're doing out there on Wall Street and Main Street and whatever street. Merchandise what you've got. So the question then is, Lord, how do I merchandise what I've got? This is what you've given to me. How do I merchandise it? How do I sell it? Now, merchandising is not only about making things and selling it. Sometimes merchandising it for the gain that you want might just be you invest in it in people. Freely you have received, freely you give. The law of sowing and reaping. But whichever way, God says, this is where you start. Acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I'll direct your path. We go back to that. God, I want to merchandise it. What is your plan for me? How do I merchandise this? How do I get it from point A to point B? Then he says, she is, that is wisdom and understanding, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her, unto wisdom. Whatever it is that you want to desire, does not compare with it. Because this is what will reproduce everything. Now, let me go a little bit faster than I'm going right now. Because you will find out if I can get up to that extent, maybe not, that this is how God established the earth and the heavens. This world that you see here came out of the functionality of wisdom. The heavens, out of the functionality of wisdom and understanding. Everything God does comes out of that. So it is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Period. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand. Length of days is in her right hand. Now, remember this statement about length of days. When God first spoke to us about length of days, it was in reference to what? Honoring your what? Yes, honoring your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and it will bring about the length of days in your life. And remember, we talked about long life and length of days being different. That length of days, you know, we have 24 hours in the day. 24 hours in the day. When God gives you length of days, you accomplish what you can accomplish in the 24-hour period in a fraction of that time. So if you needed to work 8 hours in the day or whatever to accomplish 100% of what you need to accomplish, with wisdom, while you're honoring father and mother and you have wisdom operational in your life, you might accomplish that which you were to accomplish in 8 hours in 1 hour. Now you have 7 free hours. And if every hour produces that much, somebody who worked for 1 month or for a year or 10 years, you'll accomplish whatever it is they accomplish in 10 years, that they plan to accomplish in 10 years, in a week. Now you have length of days. That makes sense? Because you're wise. You know how to pick what you need to pick. One of the things the Lord gave to us on Sunday, I remember the prophetic statement about God removing multiple options so that the option that we see is the option, because the time is short, so that you're making the right decision all the time, and it's not door number one, door number two, door number three. Price is right. You're not doing that. You know which one it is. Let's stop wasting the time. That's it. That's the only door. I don't see any other doors. It doesn't matter whether there are 50 doors. And I don't hear anything else but the one thing that God says is the right path to take. Boom. Done. Praise the Lord. So we see here how God is bringing us into the fullness. Length of days is in her right hand. Length of days is in her right hand. That's a powerful word. And then he tells us what is in our left hand. Riches and honor. Is that what God said he was giving to Solomon? He says, riches and honor in the left hand of God. Length of days are in her right hand. The right hand is the greater hand. And God puts riches and honor in the left hand and places in the right hand length of days. Wow. What is God saying? He's saying to us, I want you to have ease of life. I want you to be in a state of rest in me. Because if you're not worrying, if you're not afraid, and you know, you do a little thing here and bang, you have everything that you need, then you're always happy because everything is provided for. That's powerful. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. All her pathways are peace, are the shalom of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness. All the paths of wisdom. Wow. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold on her. She's a tree of life. Wait a minute. This is getting very serious because he says to us, he that winneth souls is what? Wise. And that it is a tree of life. Huh. So what is God saying to us? God is saying what he's always said and what he said in Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and every other thing shall be added unto you. That ultimately good success is not applicable in our lives if we are not focus on the preaching of the gospel. So Solomon will say in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I will wrap up here today because next week I will take it up from verse, about verse 15, even though we've come up to verse 18. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you can get me there, Ecclesiastes 1. He says the words of the what? Preacher. First thing. I'm a preacher. I am the son of David. That's his pedigree. That's his family line. King in Jerusalem, his platform. Well, first of all, preacher. Before I'm king, I'm a preacher. Yes, I acknowledge my family line, but that's not the most important. I'm a preacher. Solomon, you're a preacher? Yes. I know the importance of doing the first things first. Know what my focus and my resources should be targeted. I was listening to something earlier today, a minister ministering a word and on YouTube, and there came an ad. And this ad was an ad being presented by a couple, a Filipino couple. And I think he was involved in IT, and I think she was working at a university. And this is what they talked about. They talked about the business that they were engaged in. But what caught my attention for the few minutes, I tried to listen to it because the first part of it caught my attention. And what caught my attention was, they said, "We're sponsoring another missionary full time." I said, "Well, what is this all about?" Lo and behold, he said, "You know, we had dreams, hopes, and aspirations. We're very well paid in our profession. But there are certain things that we wanted to do. Yeah, we wanted to travel, we wanted to take care of our Asian parents, but we wanted to take care of ministers of the gospel. Make sure that they have no need." And so they started some business. I don't know what business it was, but the point is, they got, while they were still doing their jobs, they got engaged in doing business so that they can sponsor the gospel. And they are sponsoring many now. And all of those resources are going towards that. You know, people many times do all kinds of things without thinking about the kingdom perspective. How do I sponsor the work of God while I'm alive, when I'm dead? How do I sponsor the work of God? Because after I leave this planet, if I die, the gospel still needs to be preached until Jesus comes. So what do I do to make sure that I am sponsoring the cause of the kingdom? Even when I'm long gone, that I'm still sponsoring it. People many times just think about me, myself, and I. They don't have a kingdom perspective. So they have a job, they just quit it. As long as I have enough money to put bread on my table for the next year or 2 years, it's fine. Okay, what happens now? You've quit your job. Are you still going to be able to give like you used to give before you quit your job? I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about if I have enough. That's not the thinking of kingdom seekers. And say, wait a minute. The decision I'm about to make, how does it affect the kingdom of God? The purposes of the kingdom. How will my decision now affect everything that I'm doing? Sure, I can retire at 30, but will I be able to sponsor the purposes of the kingdom of God if I retire at 30 at a higher, greater level? If I can say yes, I retire at 30. If I can't say yes, I say, God, what do you want me to do? It's called wisdom, because I've got to trade. Or how do you want me to change? Maybe I'm changing from this to this. But if I'm changing from this to this, it must be about the kingdom of God, how I can impact the things of God and see lives change and transformed. That's part of our assignment. We don't live for ourselves. We live our lives to honor God, to bring transformation to the lives of other people while we're here and when we're long gone. Everything that we do must be in acknowledging God first. Acknowledging God first. And making certain that we are imputing into the things of God purpose, vision, drive, passion, wholeness, so that the kingdom of God keeps on thriving, not struggling, thriving, because He's given that grace to us. I'll wrap up with verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 1 and 2. Because remember, he says, I'm a preacher. I am the son of David. I am the king in Jerusalem. And then, strange thing, vanity of vanities, said the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Huh? What are you talking about, man? You just told us who you are. Now you're saying everything is vanity? Yes, because vanity, vain things, will always want to contradict that preacher part of you. The world will always want to pull you away from that preacher part of you. And every one of us have been called to that. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll stop there. I hope I wasn't speaking too quietly. And you got all that you needed to get today. Father, we are thankful. Deeply thankful for grace and for mercy. We ask, O God, that you rewire us in our thinking, in our mindset, that we begin to recognize, discerning what priorities are. Recognize differences. For in the wisdom of your spirit, we will fulfill your divine mandate. We declare this day in the mighty name of Jesus that all satanic agendas be brought to naught. And Lord God Almighty, that we live our lives in honorable ways, glorifying you, choosing you above all, knowing, O God, that everything is vanity outside of you. But that when we have you first center, the core of our personhood, then that which would have been vain becomes profitable, because, Lord, it is targeting what is most dear to you, the souls of men. You're the God who said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, the things of this world, but loses his soul, and by inference, other souls. You gain the whole world, and souls are not reached. What gain is that? Nothing. Nothing. Lord, may we not be in that realm where we labor for nothing. But Lord, oh God, let all that we do bring glory to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May our voice be heard far and near. Help us to merchandise what you have given to us in such a way that it makes it possible for us to continue to fund the things of the kingdom and seeing lives transformed, minds renewed, struggles eradicated, because we are enjoying the length of days. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, bless you. I thank God for every one of you that took time to come out tonight. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Honor God with your tithe, your offerings, with your increase. And may we be true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Give unto the Lord. Do I have anyone on Zoom? I guess not. Hi. Okay, I'll come get it.